Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
So the Holy Spirit is hovering over me to see what I say about me and mine, but He's also hovering over the body of Christ to bring about God's will in the earth.
The body of Christ has authority in this earth. Learn to take your place in God as Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim reveal how God uses our words to accomplish His will. Next, on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozark, and we're having some good things come out in the Word of God. So we're glad you're here. Billy,
yes,
we
and
you.
I do want you to go to Roku or go to kcm.org and catch up with
us. Yes, it's been
because
very
we really
good.
Have an assignment from God and a recruiting mission to recruit you for God's use. And yesterday we posed a question: does God need anything? And the answer is yes. He needs something. And right now we're centering in on God needs a body. He needs a body in the earth.
That's right. You could say He needs somebody.
Yes, because you know, it's only men that have authority in the earth.
That's right.
And for the Holy Spirit to work, He needs a body to work through. We're His temple. But Satan needs bodies.
That's right.
And that's why he will tempt people to do his ill works.
He'll lie to do it.
He'll lie to do it. He'll trick you.
Deceive you.
Brother Hagin was talking to me one time about how Satan will try to, because he has to have a body to work through, he'll try to get little children he'll like recruit them. He'll make pictures move on the wall, and he'll start showing them even little cartoons with witches and all this and that. And then he can get them off on the evil side of it to use them. But God needs a body.
So who was it that said something to somebody like, you'd say something good about the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Who was that that said
There was this guy who never said anything bad about anybody, and they said he'd say something good about the devil.
He said, well, he is a persistent cuss.
He's a persistent cuss, and I'm telling you, he's not giving up.
No, and neither are we.
And neither are we, and we're the winners. Bless the Lord. God needs a body because it is the body. A body on the earth is a badge of authority.
That's right.
Because you're in the earth. Jesus entered in through the proper door.
Man has authority.
Yes. He came through a body. And we talked yesterday about how the Lord said, a body have you prepared for me? Mm-hmm. He prepared Mary's child for him to carry out God's plan for man.
Right.
But now there's another body God's preparing, and that body is us. Jesus is the head. We are the body.
Amen.
God needs a body in the earth speaking words
taking
that He can
authority.
Clothe with reality.
That's right.
Sustenance. That's the law of creation. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit was hovering.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What was He waiting for?
Words.
Glory to God. God's words.
Yeah.
And then when He hears God's words, the Holy Ghost, then He can bring about creation. It's the same today.
It's exactly the same in our lives.
Exactly the same. He's hovering over us and what we say. Like I told you yesterday, the Lord said to me in the time of prayer, it's not come what may, it's come what you say.
That's right.
So the Holy Spirit is hovering over me to see what I say about me and mine, but He's also hovering over the body of Christ to bring about God's will in the earth. And God has prepared and is preparing a body to do His work through.
Whatever you hear gets into you.
Sure.
That's why it's so important for people to find a church that preaches the Word of God.
That's absolutely the correct word.
Otherwise, you're not going to be ready if trouble comes.
And the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, a Holy Ghost
That's
Spirit.
Right.
So the Bible, Jesus was prepared a body for Him. He came into the earth. He did the work in the body. And then what he did in the body prepared another body.
That's right.
And that's us.
Praise God.
And it is written in Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body.
Mm-hmm.
There's no needing you fussing around about what is his body. The church is his body.
That's right.
The church, which is his body. The ecclesia, which is his body. The assembly, which is his body.
Praise God.
Some people try to divide things up.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Jewish part to the church. There's a Gentile part. Oh, no, there's not. There's just one body. Any Jew, any Gentile can be born again, but then they come in and they're the body of Christ.
That's right.
Or they'll try to divide it some other way, the bride, not the bride. It says right here, the church, which is
his body.
This settles it. The fullness of him which filleth all in all. And we see in the Bible, lots in the New Testament, lots about the body. We're just going to read you a few scriptures. Romans 7, chapter 4. It shows the body as Christ is the head, we're the body, but it also speaks of us being married. Wherefore, my brethren, this is Romans 7, 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and the plan of God is that they bring forth fruit. So that's it with our head, who is also our bridegroom, and we're the body, the bride, and we're to bring forth fruit in the earth.
Praise God.
And one of the fruit that it talks about that gives glory to God is prayer fruit in the book of John.
Praise God.
We are one body. I've just picked a few scriptures. It's all throughout the New Testament. I'm just reading you a few. Romans 12, 4. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, but we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Right.
And I thought this is interesting, Romans 12, 1, considering that God is calling us to a certain type of prayer where we sit before Him for 30 minutes a day, we offer Him our vessel, our body. Look at Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, actually, that says worship, and the English Standard Version, I'm reading you the same scriptures, Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Praise God.
So, what the Lord is calling us to in a special assignment of prayer that we've been talking about, this is the second week, and you can go online to kcm.org, or you can go on Roku, and you can catch up. He's called us to set aside 30 minutes a day when we present our bodies to Him, and He can use them. And He can present the body that we offer to Him in sacrifice for those 30 minutes. He can use our tongues. And He can speak words in the earth that He wants the Holy Spirit to clothe. The Holy Spirit will give us the utterance, and then the Holy Spirit will bring it about. Our part is we're sitting here and we got a body, the badge of authority. So our part is to present that to Him.
Praise God.
Romans 12, 4 says this is the English Standard Version, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. 1 Corinthians 6:15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. We are one with Christ. He is the head and we are the body. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing, talking about communion, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 12:12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body are one body, so also is Christ. I am going to skip down to the 25th verse of that passage in 1 Corinthians 12. There should be no schism in the body, but the members should have one, the same care one for another. I was talking to Pastor Sharon Daugherty the other day about unity. Unity in the body. The Lord had been really impressing that upon Sharon. And it says in John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be one, that the glory might show through us. And she'd been thinking along those lines, and I was talking to her about the 30 minutes of prayer that the Lord has called us to do, and how many people around the world are doing it right now.
See if I'm quoting this right. One will put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000
right.
to flight.
And think all of us all around the world praying.
Awesome. Multiplies it.
Right.
It multiplies the power.
And Sharon said, it's unity. That way we can be in unity.
That's right.
When we're praying, we've offered ourselves to prayer, and there's thousands around the earth, and we're praying 30 minutes in the Spirit. Not only can God get things done, but we're in unity. He can bring the glory forth.
Amen. Yeah.
When we're in unity. And right now at this taping, we've got over 1,000 people signed up for 30 minutes of praying. We've got people from Australia, Canada, Cyprus, the UK, USA, Ireland, South Africa, Nigeria, Belgium, England, Ukraine, Switzerland, Africa, Singapore, Netherlands, British Columbia, New Zealand, Norway, Germany, and the United Arab Emirates and Scotland.
The four corners of the earth.
Yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And we have every state in the Union praying, everyone, except for Vermont.
Somebody get busy up there.
Yes, we need to sign up from Vermont. But see, here we are, and we're in unity, and we're the body. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Why does God need us? Because you have to have a body in the earth. And the authority was given to... The body has authority. It was given to Adam. Adam, the devil usurped it from him. But Jesus had a body prepared for him. He came and offered it. Mm-hmm. And through the offering and cleansing of the blood that supplies us, then now we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we're the body.
Praise God.
We're the body of Christ in the earth.
Right.
Now, I want to go back to Ephesians. I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and talk about this prayer. This is a prayer that has to do with authority, and it is a prayer that has to do with us being at the right hand of the Father. And it's a prayer, actually, that we pray every day. I pray this prayer almost every day, Gloria. And Brother Hagin's the one that taught us to do this when he was teaching us about authority. And I have it here on my paper, but I want to get it out my little Bible here. You see how these pages have got my hands have been over them? That's because I've been praying over them.
Praise God.
So here's the prayer that you can pray every single day. And it begins in Ephesians 1, 17. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ, the Anointed One, when you raised Him from the dead. And when you raised Him from the dead, you set Him at your own right hand in the heavenlies. And you set Him, Jesus Christ, far above all.
Far above. I like that.
Oh, far above.
That's a good position.
All principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And you put all things under His feet, and you gave Him,
hallelujah,
to be the head over all things to the church,
which is his body. He's the head, we're the body. Where are the feet? They're in the body. So everything's under our feet.
But what's in the body?
Yes.
Fullness of him. That's right.
That filleth all in all. Now don't stop at chapter 2. Paul didn't when he was writing this. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with the Anointed One. When he quickened Christ, when he quickened the Messiah, when he quickened Jesus, he quickened you and me, made us alive.
Amen.
He quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved.
Hallelujah.
And he raised us up together. And he made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
When he quickened Jesus, he quickened the body. When he quickened the head, he quickened the body. When he quickened him, he quickened us. When he raised him, he raised us. When he seated him, he seated us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, God needs us to know this. And I want to read you, this is called authority.
That's right.
And I want to read you from this book, Authority of the Believer, by John A. McMillan. Brother Hagin wrote in his front of his book, The Believer's Authority, he said it's this man that his writings that inspired Brother Hagin.
What page are you reading?
I'm reading on just a little forward part here.
Okay, forward.
And Mr. McMillan says, he was a missionary to Philippines and to China. He knew a lot about the demonic world. He said, the rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. He died in 1956. We see the powers of darkness.
1956.
We see them increased even more. Yeah. That's why everything's crazy all over this world. It's the powers of darkness.
Just think of one arm of that is drugs. Think about how many more drugs are out there driving people crazy.
Even since 1956 when he died.
Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, right. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. We're talking about praying in the end days. You're going to pray in the end of days, you need to know about the prayer that you offer in authority. That's one of the kinds of praying. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. So we're sitting up there. I'm reading from this book now, Gloria. You don't have it there on your paper. But you got this book, and I know you do it. Yes. So here's praying in the last days, praying in the end of days. You need to know that when Jesus was raised, you were raised. You were sitting at the right hand of the Father. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ, I'm reading you now from McMillan. Christ and his people were raised together. When he raised him from the dead, you were raised from the dead.
You know, when Brother Hagin preached to Authority of the Believer and we heard it, it changed everything.
It changed everything.
It changed everything. It changed. It gave us our healing, it gave us prosperity, our needs. It just changed everything.
Absolutely. Just by you knowing you're up there at the right hand of
Christ.
He says here, the reviving of Christ expresses also the reviving of his people.
Yes.
The very act of God, which raised the Lord from among the dead, also raised his body.
Amen.
Head.
Translated us
and
out.
Body. Are naturally raised together.
That's right.
Christ the head, his body the church, the assembly of believers.
Thank you, Jesus.
In this, the believer with the ascended Christ to the heavenlies is made a partaker of Christ's throne. That there may be no misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit's meaning in this presentation of the truth, the elevation of the Lord's people with their head. They are made to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Christ's seat is at the right hand of God. His people, therefore, occupy with him
the same august position.
That's right.
This honor is not to a chosen few, but is the portion of all those who share the resurrection of the Son of God.
All those born again.
It is the birthright of every true believer, of every born again child of God. They are seated at the right hand of God, and the right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. The elevation, I'm continuing to read, the elevation of His people with Him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers of the authority which is His. They are made to sit with Him to share His throne.
Oh, and we have His name.
Hallelujah.
That's how we exercise that
authority. That's how we exercise
it. We have His name.
We have His name.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, from the right hand of the Father, we speak.
Glory to God.
To share a throne means to partake of the authority which it represents.
Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We have indeed, we have been elevated in the plan of God, that we may now exercise to the extent of our spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances
we
of
command,
mankind.
We command the sickness to go.
Because it's of the powers of the air.
We command the healing to come. We command poverty to go. It's a curse. We command money to come. It's an awesome thing to have the name of Jesus.
Oh, right. And He needs you, Gloria, to know that.
That's
He needs you to know that.
And you need to know it.
Yes, and we need to know it. And then if we believe that God quickened us together with Christ and raised us up together, on page 27, He says our reaction to it should be, I accept Your gracious word.
Oh, yes.
I believe You've thus wrought for me.
Glory to God.
In humble faith, I take my seat at the right hand of the Father, and I do it. I do it in the mornings every day.
Praise God.
Most every day I sit in a seat, and I say,
You take authority.
I take authority. I tell Satan that day, You are not coming in this realm. You're not coming in Billy Brim's family. You're not coming in the good works
that's
that I've been ordained to walk in.
Amen.
And take my authority. God needs me to do that.
You
know that
to
He's
do
done all He's going to do about the devil?
That's right.
He's done all He's going to do. So what does He need His body to do? He wants His body free from the darkness.
So we command the sickness to go.
Yes, we have authority.
We command the money to come.
Yes.
We command the devils to get off our children or whatever's in our family needs deliverance.
And God needs
authority.
That.
That's
he
the
needs
authority
it.
Of the believer.
He needs you
it
to do it.
It changes everything.
He needs you to resist the devil,
that's
and the
right.
devil will flee
you.
From
resist
you.
The devil and he flees. So you need to become bold. You say, well, I just don't know how to do that. Well, you can find out. Get these books, get other things, go to the Bible, get good teaching tapes. First of all, look under things that say authority of the believer. That changed everything in our lives. Poverty went out the window.
The body of Christ.
Sickness went out the window.
The body of Christ has authority in the earth.
Amen. It does. And we take it in Jesus' name. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.